Our psalm reading today is from Psalm 92, 1 through 3. It goes, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp." And our scripture reading today is from Matthew 3:16 through 4:1. Again, it sounds like a whole lot because there's two chapters in there, but it's very, very short. Because as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So here we are. We had our first Sunday in Lent last Sunday. So we're right here, right in the middle of it almost. As we remember, Lent is a period before Easter where we try to focus in on Christ, focus in on his ministry as he prepares for the passion and sacrifice on the cross. Now, as a church, we spent last week hearing from all things a lesson from a donkey or several donkeys. And today, we're going to hear a lesson from a dove, a little bird. So what do we think about when we think about doves? You oftentimes think of peace, you know, Noah's Ark, weddings, purity, etc., etc. This dove is this, it's awesome. It's this magical figure almost. But how about, think about this. Think about how closely related doves are to pigeons. Now, they have similar habits, similar diets. They're both pretty close birds. And in the Bible, they oftentimes can be seen used interchangeably. There are different words, of course. You know, it says pigeon, it says dove, but they can be used a lot of times for the same purpose. So what do you think of when you think of a pigeon? Now, I don't know about you, but at my dad's house, there's a lot of trees. And they make a large mess on my car. I always had to clean that up. It's terrible. But we know pigeons, I mean, they're everywhere, especially in the big cities. You see them on TV, you see them when you go visit. Did you know that there are pigeons on every single continent except Antarctica? I mean, they're everywhere, and there's millions of them. So it shouldn't be shocking that doves, as well as pigeons, were very common and plentiful back in Jesus' day. Much of us, like when we have to clean our windshields, of course, people in Jesus' day, they viewed these pigeons almost as a nuisance. But they're used interchangeably. They were a danger to farmers' crops. They were very messy, very plentiful. And it's a giant nuisance. Everybody sort of hated them, just like we do today. But they were very common, and they were very cheap because of that. So they could often be used to buy as an offer to the Lord, as your sacrifice at the temple. He'd be interchanged with the dove, interchanged oftentimes with the lamb. A little cheaper almost. So that leads us to Jesus. So it was right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, following the tradition of the day, it was typical to bring your child to the temple, especially a baby boy, to perform the standard sacrificial rites. You know, you sacrifice an animal and bless them. It's this whole thing. You go back to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and read about that. So they took him there. And the normal sacrifice, you bring a lamb. A firstborn, unblemished, usually a year-old lamb. And that was your sacrifice. But as we see through Moses, he recognized that some people didn't have lambs. You know, those are expensive, so what can we do to replace that? And with God's help, they decided that a dove or a pigeon could be accepted as well if you didn't have the money for a lamb. So of all the animals that Mary and Joseph could have purchased, a lamb or anything like that, they were sort of poor, so they purchased a dove. This simple dove. The symbol of peace, of purity, of humbleness. Now, it must have been pretty humbling being unable to afford what they considered the real sacrifice as lamb. Especially after such an important event, especially the first son. I mean, that was huge. But would anything else better represent our view of Christ today? This man who came and was very humble, even from birth. Our Christ, he was humbly born in a stable, humbly brought up to the temple as a baby with nothing more than a dove to sacrifice, the lowest sacrifice you could do. So this dove, much like the stable that he was born in, declared that Jesus' life would be marked with his humble service. Now, this is not the only time we see a dove in Jesus' life. This dove plays a special part, maybe not one dove, but different doves, but they play a special part in his life. They mark special events. Like we just said, the birth and the scripture reading is the second time at his baptism, right there in the middle. Like we read in Matthew 3:16, the spirits were open, or the heaven was open. They saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on him, claiming, "This is my Son, who I love and with I am well pleased." Here the dove isn't teaching us about humbleness, though. Here's something totally different. It's teaching us that this humble man, from his humble beginnings, was about to begin this ministry, which began about a three-year journey to the cross. This dove here sets Christ completely apart. This dove here represents that he is different. He is greater than any man before him or any man to come. Even the prophets, he's above them. He is the Son of God. That's the highest title you could get. And he's the only one that could have got it. This dove came representing his divinity, of his godliness, and that he was about to do something that no one else could do. He's about to come and heal where no other person could heal. Reconcile those who couldn't be reconciled by anything or anyone else. And save those who couldn't save themselves, which was everybody. This dove came representing that he is the Lord. This is your sign. This is it. If nothing else you've read or seen proves it, this proves it definitively. Now, the dove has one final lesson, one final special marking in the life of Jesus. Do you know when the last time is? Can you think of it? I oftentimes forget about this one as well. It's Good Friday in the temple. We read that in John 2:14-17. It goes, "In the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables, exchanging money. So he made a whip of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?' His disciples remember that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" Now, a little background, Jews only had one temple. Now, I had synagogues we'd hear about, but they had the temple. That's where you did your sacrifices. That was your main focus in your worship. That's where everybody came on special occasions. And if you live close enough, that's where you went to church. That was it. But there was one trick that sort of got put in there. At the beginning out of necessity, but later on out of greed. There was only specially minted coins that were acceptable as offerings, and acceptable to purchase sacrifices at the temple. So if you were out of town or anywhere else really, but in Jerusalem's main center, you didn't have these coins. So you'd have to go there and exchange them, just like you do if you go to another country today. But that's where we get to the bad part. These money changers were saying, "Man, this is easy. They have to come. Let's make some money off this. Let's make ourselves well off." So they're making this great profit. Now, most visitors and the city dwellers even, they didn't have pigeons or goats or lambs or doves. They weren't farmers. They were business people. They were merchants, tax collectors. They were everything else. Some of them had them, of course, but and it also was hard to find an unblemished lamb of 1 year old or the firstborn. I mean, there's only one of those per. So the temple, they would have shepherds, and they would raise these livestock for use in the temple. So then you'd come to the temple, and with your specially minted coins you just paid an arm and a leg for, you'd go and pay an arm and a leg for an animal, whether it be a pigeon, goat, lamb, dove, whatever it was, so you can go and sacrifice it. You had to go and buy these animals. So these merchants had turned the temple porch, the front porch of it, sort of like right out there at the entrance, into a livestock auction. Now, this was bad enough, but there was something worse, you could almost say. Through all this greed and profiteering, they were doing this at the expense of the worshipers. Now, what do I mean by that? The Gentiles of the time, they were Jewish Gentiles, you could call them. They believed in the Jewish God, but they weren't afforded the same rights as a Jewish-born citizen. So that's like us saying you weren't born a Christian, you can't come into the sanctuary. You have to be outside the sanctuary. So the Gentiles, they would go to the porch and they would listen. That's where they would pray. That was their worship area. That's the furthest they could go in. So here they are going up to pray, and there's money changers everywhere. I mean, there's an auction market. It's like going to a big flea market. I mean, it's loud. There's activity everywhere. Now imagine trying to find a quiet place to pray there. It'd be terrible. It'd be really hard. So not only were they taking advantage of everybody coming to worship God, they were also taking away the only place of the temple the Gentiles could worship. So here comes Jesus. He comes in here, and man, makes him mad. He can't stand this. Makes him very angry. He drove them all out. So this is not the place for this. And I bet it was something to see. I mean, I imagine coins going everywhere. The merchants shouting and scrambling to grab their lambs and goats and doves, trying to catch them and grab all the money off the ground they can, because that's their living. You know, the goats sprinting away. I've never had to try to grab a goat, but we have cows at our house, and they get out sometimes, and they spread out, and they go everywhere, and it's terrible trying to get them. I couldn't imagine trying to get a bunch of lambs with everybody around trying to get their lambs as well. It'd be terrible. Cages crashing the ground, doves and pigeons flying everywhere. It'd be a crazy scene. You know, looking back at it now, it's almost something to laugh about. Man, that's funny. That's awesome. But it was no laughing matter. Jesus, he came to his Father's house as an angry Savior at this point. All those loose goats and flying feathers and birds, you know, the doves that day, they got to see Jesus firsthand. They got to see this righteous anger Jesus had. And we oftentimes think of Jesus as this meek and mild figure. And he usually is. But sometimes there are times when he couldn't stand for it. This is not how it's going to be, and I'm going to change it. We see another glimpse of this in the book of Mark. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them, and in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So whenever Christ, he came into contact with people who were distorting the truth or keeping people away from God, away from this grace and love, he reacted strongly, oftentimes with anger and distress. We often see him as this Lord of love with compassions and mountains of patience and grace. You know, that's how we see him. But these doves this day, on this fateful day at the temple, they tell us directly that he can get angry as well. And have this wrath. They could tell us that Christ was very humble when he first began his ministry and throughout his ministry. Even at the point of his birth, he's born into this humble nature. Then they show his divinity. God uses a dove to say, this is my son. The dove represents that. Also represents the Holy Spirit, but that's a part of it. And then the dove, it shows Jesus' humanity. You know, Jesus was fully divine, but he's also fully human. He had our emotions. He had fears. He had feelings. You know, we see in Scripture, he cries. He gets mad. He gets sad. He gets happy, overjoyed. We almost see a fear in the garden. You know, we see these emotions. This humble servant, this divine man, also felt what we felt. He was tempted as we're tempted. Went through everything we've gone through, plus tremendous amount more. Things we couldn't even imagine. He came to us as an example. And these doves saw it throughout his life. They were there to experience it all. They're there to show us that this example of Jesus is something that we can all follow as well. To whatever means that means. And that's awesome. That's the lesson of the dove. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to gather and worship here with you. And Lord, thank you for using a dove, a bird, a simple animal, to show of your grace, your patience, your humbleness, your divinity and your humanity. And that through you, through this example, we can live our lives the way we're meant to live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.